this photo published and stuff. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970 is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. You can also engage with us electronically. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Coming up later on, we've seen a radio correspondence, Jim Roop and Gary Baumgarten, who is counting down to his final day there. Ladies and gentlemen, the real reason you are here today at the Ministry of Truth, your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A local company admits to bribery. A judge and the SEC have imposed a $15.2 million penalty for a subsidiary of Schnitzer. They're the giant steel industry. I think the Schnitzer Concert Hall is named after that family. Found guilty today of violating U.S. trade law by bribing steel mill managers in China and South Korea to purchase scrap metal from the Portland business.
No, Torek, if I was going to bribe people, look, I'm going to tell you this right now. Not that I'm encouraging graft or corruption. I'm just saying if you got to bribe people, if those are the countries you want to go to, you can bribe people there for like a hot sandwich and 15 cents. Then maybe it takes a lot. It takes real money to bribe people here in America. You go over to Thailand, you can bribe people for a swizzle stick. It doesn't matter.
Well, the bribery, the corrupt payments included cash, jewelry, gift certificates, perfume.
What could you give membership? A gift certificate to somebody in China? Just you know, avoid having the bottom of your feet beaten with a cane tomorrow.
That could be
okay.
Condo timeshares
in China. Yeah, the Pyongyang, the thriving Pyongyang district there. Yeah, okay.
So Schnitzer Steel Chairman Kenneth Novak pleaded guilty on behalf of the subsidiary. And let's see here. It says they have a longstanding practice of obtaining bribes that were approved by a senior manager, which is unusual in an anti-bribery case. So that's that.
All right.
They've agreed to pay $15.2 million in criminal and civil penalties. And have to pay the government $7.5 million within 5 days for some unknown reason.
Whatever. Your account will be turned over to collections. I would like to say right now that the Rick Emerson Show is open to and accepting of bribes as of now. The bribe gates are now open.
Well, a man marked with beak bites on his hands has been arrested on a MAX train after officers searched for a bird bandit in Gresham. The feathered frenzy began early Sunday afternoon when a bird theft was reported at PetSmart in Gresham. Apparently, the man stole a bird then ran out the back door. Police spotted the suspect running toward the MAX track and alerted officers who waited for him in the next for the next upcoming train. Alan Thomas, who's 26, arrested at the MAX station at Northeast 8 and Northeast Kelly, but the bird was nowhere to be found.
You know, birds are kind of freaky, especially in pet stores. Jimmy, every time you go into a pet store, they do two things at a pet store. A, they have a huge bird, and he's sitting there, and they come with a big curved black beak, and they're always sitting there on a little pedestal or whatever, and there's always a big sign saying, stay away, bird will kill.
Right.
They always,
bird bites.
But why do they have the bird there? I mean, maybe it's like a child deterrent thing. Maybe it's to see if you can read or not. If you read, if you pay attention, you don't get attacked. You know, you ignore the sign, you go home with a patch on one eye. Because the bird is always there, but they never put the friendly bird out. It's always the bird that is known to pluck out the internal organs of young people. And they put it right on the thing in the middle of the store.
So what happened to the bird, you ask? Well, alert citizens told police they saw the suspect throw something into a dumpster. And officers soon found a backpack and a jacket. Now, the backpack had the stolen bird inside as well as the jacket.
Oh, was the bird alive?
Yes, of course. The officer began to check Thomas's jacket for weapons. They noticed that the jacket was moving on its own, and another bird poked its head out of the pocket of the jacket.
Come on!
Both birds have been returned to PetSmart, but they also left their mark on the thief. It seems that birds don't enjoy being grabbed and put into coats and jackets and have a tendency to bite. Thompson had some injuries to his hands and arms that appeared to be consistent with beak bites. His bail, $12,500.
Wait, hold on. Beak. So be careful if you're... No. I can't reuse beak. Bird, fowl, zzz, nothing. Nothing. No, I can't think of any pun that doesn't involve beak. All right. You know, the great thing about this photo, Sarah, the great thing about it here is that it almost looks like you're pulling away. It's almost like you're resisting a little bit, and she's having to restrain you ever so slightly. That's the really good part of it.
Fine, put it up. Seriously, you can see the non-passionate embrace it is.
But that's kind of what makes it hot. It's almost like your eyes say no, but her arms say yes.
If you try to post a picture using Blogger, it'll be till next week before it's up.
Man, you're not lying about that, man. It's always. Have you noticed?
Is it just today?
It's always in the morning. Always in the morning.
At the time, my pictures don't post.
It's right as you are trying. Like, I got to be on the air in 2 minutes. I got to get this poster of Kim Jong Il posted, and then it just goes to that. You know, attempting now to upload, and it just cycles endlessly. Like 4 in the morning when nobody really needs to use it, works flawlessly. Right before the show, or now, takes forever. Let's see. Kara, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hello.
Hey, y'all.
I just thought it would be fair to Sarah. Maybe we could set up the same shot with Rick and Byron or some of the other hot guys I know, then post both pictures side by side and let the people vote.
Sort of like a highlight for children where you try to spot the differences?
Yeah, like which is the more passionate embrace of the two?
Yes, or even better, Rick could demonstrate his definition of a kiss on the guy to prove his point. And we could get that on camera.
This is creating an uncomfortable work environment.
Or video.
You know, I was just talking to the human resources woman this morning.
I just took the CBS ethics course and had things just like this.
I was going to say, you know, did you get the thing about, there's a big email going around the company about you might have to go and fill out an online CBS ethics course, and it's like...
Apparently, Harold, who works in the newsroom, was hurt by a comment by Mary, the news director, who was commenting on how much she enjoyed the Chippendale dancers on a girl's night out. And he was very offended by her comments, which are against CBS regulations to make.
There is this email going around the company right now that everybody will get, and everybody, I swear to God.
I'm done with it. I did it last night.
I got till November 5th. I think I'm just putting it off as long as possible.
You got to mail it four
times. What do we have to do with it?
You have to go. I haven't clicked on it yet, even though I'm presumably a manager.
If you didn't get it, then you don't have to take it.
Yeah, you have to fill out like an online quiz about like...
It takes an hour.
It's like, really?
But how long is it? It's about taking bribes.
No, that's true. It's like it really is much harder to sexually harass a man. But it's like when I worked in the restaurant business when I was a teenager and I had to take that quiz about like, you know, you are standing next to a hot oil fryer with a friend. Do you or do you not throw large potatoes into the oil?
Yes, you do.
15 feet. And I was like, hell yeah. No, there's a quiz and it's a whole lot of. It's a whole lot of, like, you are standing in the CBS radio hallway. A woman walks by. Do you need her buttocks? You know, and it's just, you know, it's just like, the manager one's even better because they illustrate it with, like, the worst clip art you've ever seen in your life, where it's a lot of, like, really bad 50s-looking women with, like, where the women are all offended, and the women, the clip art women, are signifying their offense by holding their hands up to their faces, Macaulay Culkin, Home Alone style. So, all right.
Well, Sarah, the other thing you could probably do is maybe in exchange for this, Rick could rub off some of his push-ups. By pushing up on another guy.
See,
that's a good idea.
See, here's the thing.
See, and I am getting emails from people, Rick, saying that you're being an extra ass today.
I'm not. That's not true. I'm in a very perky and happy mood today.
I agree.
Things are looking up. There's hair. I got coffee. Best
show
ever.
We don't know if there's hair. It could still get infected and reject you.
Why do you have to say that? Why do you got... Oh, that's a terrible thing to say.
That just made me feel better.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, thanks. Thank you. I'm glad that infection makes you feel a lot better.
It's not going to be infected. You're going to be just fine.
Oh, no. See, now I'm going to obsess. I'm going to be back on the junk tomorrow, back on the Valium. But, you know, the thing about it is with so many of the female callers and emails here, it's like that thing about when you read the fortune cookie and everything ends with in bed. So, like about 40% of the calls and emails directed at me in situations like this end with blah, 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 blah on top of Byron Beck.
Woohoo!
Okay. Thank you for the pig and pancake hat, by the way.
You're welcome, dear.
All right. There you go. Okay. Thank you, Kara.
Good luck with that hair.
Thank you. It's Kara, ladies and gentlemen. All right. It's 503-733-2970. So in front of God and everybody, you are not a I can post it. I can push the submit button.
Push the submit button. That's fine. I'm not embarrassed. Like, I just wanted to make sure that I didn't look like a huge drunken mess. Okay.
No, you look fine. No, you look beautiful.
I'm fine with it.
You're all made up and whatnot. All right. Okay, I'm pressing publish now.
We can just leave it up for a few hours and then take it down.
It'll take a few hours for it to publish.
Yes, I was going to say, by that time, it'll be up there.
By that time, it'll be tomorrow.
Here's Tim Riley.
Okay, here's one of those fake stories that somebody made up that nobody can be sure if it's true or not, but everybody's talking about it. The nation's population officially hit 300 million at 7:46 a.m. today. Although nobody knows where it took place, where the baby was born, what the baby looks like, and who it belongs to, or if indeed it did happen. So they've been talking about this all week. They also said the U.S. population officially hit 200 million in 1967, back when President Johnson held a news conference. The baby was born in Atlanta as the 200th American. Now there's a chance that the 300 millionth American has already walked across the border from Mexico.
This is, I'm reading it right here. They had a thing. Ed McCarthy was going to be talking about this today. This is one
well,
of those.
How do they know this?
Because from the Department of Pulling Things Out of their Orifice. Right here. This is from Ed McCarthy. Ed McCarthy is available to talk about the 300 millionth person who was born at 7:46 a.m. Eastern Time.
So did they get a gift card from Home Depot? Or what happens?
Apparently there's somebody named Bobby Wu who's available to talk about this. And much as it was tempting to book literally the Wu guy, Bobby Wu, I opted not to do that. But I remember reading when I was in school, there was this book called, am I thinking of the Population Bomb or a Future Shock? One of the two. There was some book, though, that they published, which came out in the 60s, about how we were all going to die as soon as the population hit like 250 million because the planet couldn't possibly sustain everything. And all the resources are going to be overtaxed, and we were all going to be walking around just looking like withered antelopes on the Serengeti. Just walking around just one day away from starvation. Hadn't happened. And this is like that... This is like that story that came out a couple weeks ago where they're saying that the Mona Lisa has that smile on her face because she's pregnant. And there's a whole building, so I swear to God, and it was like a guy who got money. He got millions of dollars to research. Why is the Mona Lisa smiling? Well, I don't know. Maybe she just saved money on her auto insurance. Maybe she's had a pleasant, maybe she has a pleasant bout of flatulence. She feels a lot better now. Yeah, but they came to this conclusion that she was somehow pregnant. And literally, it's from the department of just like making crap up. So, all right. By the way, now the picture's up there. I've reduced it. The picture was huge, by the way. It was like 5,000 pixels by like a billion pixels. So I've reduced it so it could. It's right above the picture of Nancy Pelosi talking about a new direction for America. So there you go. Here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
So as talk radio wavers, the president has invited conservative talk show hosts to the White House, but these are all B-list people. Well, with the exception of Sean Hannity. Mike Gallagher, Neil Bors, Laura Ingraham, and Michael Medved? What can they possibly do to influence anyone?
Let's go through. You know what it is? Mike Gallagher, for example, he's sort of the O-Town to Rush Limbaugh's Backstreet Boys. Let's go through those one at a time. Were these people all invited? Who? Where?
To the White House. Have a nice little chat with the president.
All right. And so...
Because there was disgruntlement.
among who? Is this like when they say the natives are restless?
Yes.
All right. Who was invited?
So... See, the big name was Sean Hannity.
Uh-huh.
Other names, Mike Gallagher.
Mike Gallagher. The only thing I know about Mike Gallagher, first of all, he's just a big, spherical looking bastard. He's that guy I always met. He's that guy that was on the O'Reilly Factor that one time that I was on there. And he sort of looks like, he kind of has like a bad W.C. Fields vibe, sort of like a kind of a penguin-like appearance to him. Sean Hannity, boy, you want to talk about a guy, look, and I know he's everybody knows who he is, and he's on Fox or whatever, but goddamn, Sean Hannity, have you ever listened to that program? It's like, no. I mean, imagine, for example, when you go to a doctor's waiting room and there's all those endless piles of really tedious, boring, uninteresting magazines, and it's like Golf Digest and Outdoor Weekly and, you know, like Wood Whittler's Digest and so forth. Imagine if you were just all of the combined tedium-inducing thrust of all of those magazines, and if they combined it and distilled it down into a very potent human-like form and then filled somebody with it. That's what Sean Hannity is. You listen to that program and you can actually feel whole sections of your brain just going to sleep and never waking back up. Who else?
Neil Bors.
The only thing I know about that guy is he's in Florida, and he's Likas used to just beat him like the family mule in the ratings when they were on in the same market.
Laura Ingraham.
Laura Ingraham is, wait for it, she's a rock and roll Republican. And you can tell she's a rock and roll, she's got the hot mom thing going on, where she's like a 49-year-old woman. She's what the Tom Wolfe would call a social x-ray. She's like all bony and skeletal.
Does she wear like bedazzled black t-shirts?
Totally! I was just going to say that. And the last time I saw her, she was wearing a shirt. It was really tight, which is pointless because she just looks like one big bone. She's really tight, and then it's set across the front like something like, you know, the GOP rocks or something, but it was done in like really bad, like rhinestones and so forth.
That's just embarrassing and to talk about.
Totally. And you can tell that she's out there on the edge because her intro music is by Genesis. So, you know, she's not old and stodgy. She's out there on the cutting edge of radio evolution.
Michael Medved.
Michael Medved, who looks like an honorary Marx brother. And Michael Medved, who made his name by reviewing films, everything filtered through some insane, weird, bizarre heathens are going to come and eat your children Christian slant. Most notably, I believe, he's the guy who walked out on Clerks 2, the screening, saying that anybody who was viewing it deserved to go to hell. So there you go.
So apparently, disgruntlement is found throughout all these radio programs that people listen.
Well, that happens when you're about to get beaten in an election. So there you go. All right. Let's see. Rick, we've got... how about this? Rick, shame on you. Sarah should be able to explore her obvious curiosity for female-on-female intimacy without having it broadcast on the radio, because... this is clearly an issue for the video-capable media. I need a webcam, and I need it right now. All right, there you go. Rick, I seem to remember a conversation about how the real Mel Gibson comes out when he's drunk. In regards to Sarah, I am just saying. Yes, indeed. I am just saying.
Oh, God.
Let's see. Gay Bob says, I'd be more than happy to stop by and help you out with that embarrassing photo that Sarah needs to have of you. You just let me know.
Sure. Come on down.
Yes. Yeah, come on down right now. here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, city officials in Aberdeen, Idaho say thousands of potato trucks that drive through town on their way to processing plants threaten the safety of children. Drivers don't need professional licenses to operate the spud trucks that sometimes weigh 80,000 pounds.
What do you do? I drive a spud truck in Aberdeen. Okay, that's a phrase. I'm writing that one down. And Lisa Goddard, did you catch that thing that Lisa said? Lisa Goddard said the third phrase of the day today. Lisa Goddard during, and she sounded great today. She was in fine form. You know what it is? I think it's because Baumgarten leaves, and I think she might see this as her chance to, I don't know. Because you got to wonder, she's on the Hill, but he's in Manhattan, and I really don't know which of those is the more prestigious assignment. Because she's in D.C., but I don't know if she goes to the White House briefings, or if she's just...
She does.
Or if she does?
Because she's always saying that she's going to and from the White House.
All right, so Tim, you're a news guy. So what is more prestigious? Is it doing the news in Manhattan, or is it doing the news where she does on the Hill?
Ooh, I don't know. That's a good question. They're about equal.
I don't really know.
It might be a little more... I think Washington is regarded as Hollywood for ugly people. So it might be preferable to New York.
The views expressed by Tim Riley do not express the...
I'm not speaking of reporters. I'm speaking of politicians in general.
No, that is true. Now, she sounded fantastic. So I'm just wondering if maybe she said she's got her eye in some plush Upper West Side loft. So the phrases of the day so far, and I'm going to quit recapping all of these because I think we're going to start some...
It might be more convenient for her if she wants to see the Rockettes' Christmas show.
Which I have seen, by the way, which is... there is no other word to describe it. It is... fabulous. I did see the Rockettes Christmas show 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, 2003, at Radio City Music Hall, and it really was fantastic. I got to tell you, that's the sort of thing, that we're completely off the point, and then I'll get back to this.
Well, it is one of the finest shows that is life-affecting.
I went to see it because just for the sheer pop culture value, because it's so legendary, and because the Rockettes, I mean, they're so famous, everybody, you hear all about them, and they're a big part of American culture, and they are sort of from a different era that I wasn't really around for, and B, because it takes place at Radio City Music Hall, which is so legendary anyway, and I am a huge fan of the Woody Allen movie Radio Days, and Radio Days, which... really, I cannot speak glowingly enough about it. Even if you are not a fan of so-called old-time radio, if you, and I know that you do by dint of the fact that you are listening to talk radio, this is very likely it's the case, if you recognize and realize and really feel just the impact that radio can have on your life, not only as a career, obviously, but just as a thing you listen to, the connection that radio can really make with you, you owe it to yourself to see, even if you are one of those people who considers yourself a non-Woody Allen fan, you really ought to see Radio Days, because it's just so beautiful and just amazing and just probably the best depiction of what it feels like to be a radio listener and radio fan that I've ever seen. But there is this whole sequence where he describes going to see a show at Radio City Music Hall when he's about 10 years old. And I got to tell you, man, the thing about it is that it's almost unchanged. Radio City Music Hall, you see pictures of it from back in the 40s and the 50s, and you go see it now, and they've done a very good job. I mean, without making it look fake, of keeping it exactly the same. So I went to see the Rockettes Christmas show at Radio City Music Hall, and it is one of those places where you walk in, sort of like Ellis Island in a weird way, where you walk in and there's just this vibe. I mean, that sounds a little fruity and hippie-like, but there's like an energy. There's just no other way to describe it. It is the most amazing, beautiful place. And to think that... That's the other thing, is you think that it was just a movie theater. I mean, it's Manhattan and all that, but I mean, you know, that it wasn't like a palace or a shrine. It was just a movie theater. It just happens to be the biggest, best, most fantastic-looking movie theater I've ever seen in my life. So, I just spent like 4 minutes talking about the Rockettes, but it really is great. Anyway, so Lisa Goddard had the third phrase of the day. Lisa Goddard said during the course of that interview when I was talking about the Axis of Evil, Lisa Goddard said, quote, "I should give you my mom's phone number. I should give you, presumably me, Rick Emerson, you my mom's phone number." All right, there you go. That is the third phrase of the day so far. All right, here's Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
About 3,000 people have signed an online petition for Governor Manchin to restore wild, wonderful West Virginia to its welcome signs along its state borders. With the open for business signs there and now, the governor wanted to promote an attitude that attracted business to West Virginia.
What sort of businesses would they be attracting to West Virginia? I mean, really, what is it? I mean, really, just all I... Canaries and coal mines, man. That's all I know about that place. So what thriving, bustling sort of works are they going to bring to that fair state? All right. Let's see. We've got this. Rick, that photo is... Okay. Marty says, the photo of Sarah is not a kiss, says Marty, a man.
Yes.
Marty. In fact, she seems to be recoiling ever so slightly, as you would if you had someone chomping down on your tongue. I think the drugs you're on are taking hold. Stay sexy. Marty in St. John's. All right, there you go. How about this? Rob says, not a kiss. Sarah looks like she's doing everything she can to get away. She's simply being overpowered. All right. Let's see. All right, a third one. Not a kiss, more of an oral assault, says our good friend Diana. Says Sarah looks as though she is about to be devoured by this other woman. All right, there you go. Let's break here. We'll come back. Coming up later on, we have Darwin Watch. We have more news around the corner from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, we have CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten, who is there at the home of Radio City Music Hall, New York City. Jim Roop coming up later, and so forth. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're live from Portland on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. In a few seconds, we'll be rejoined by Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
My ear hurts.
Okay. I'm a banana. I'm a Wenatchee banana. Rick, about eating right out of my hand. I believe the above-mentioned phrase comes from a Comcast commercial for on-demand movies. It does creep me out every time I see it. Thank you, Allison. Oh, what else do we have here? Rick, about the pig eating bacon. You know, every time I think it... never mind. Rick, I too have wondered about the grinning pig about to dive into a plate of bacon. Why should I patronize a pig who would so willingly slice his brothers into little pieces, happily fry them up and then gobble them down while encouraging me to do the same? Why does Charlie, the star-kissed tuna, want me to eat him? The whole thing is just sick. These are the things I think about. All right, there you go. And one more. This is from our good friend Todd the Corpse. Let's see if I have the...
Come on!
Rick, I have an unnatural obsession with odd phrases. Specifically, phrases that come up in conversations that make sense in context, but have never, ever been spoken by a human being before. Okay, this is a thing I think about. I think about this sometimes. About combinations of words that you could use And see, this, I don't even want to mention this because we're going to go sidetrack because I'm just going to want to do this all day. But you could do that. You could actually come up with strings of words that make sense, that have some sort of contextual sense to them, that have never been spoken before. You know what I mean? In other words, it's not gibberish. It's a phrase that actually makes sense with the structure of the sentence is intact. It all works properly. But a sentence or a chain of words that has never, ever, ever before been uttered by anybody. I think about that a lot, actually. He says, this happens many times on your show, which is another reason I celebrate your entire catalog. I've made a point of writing down some of the phrases that I have used in conversation that have never been spoken before by any human being ever. And I enjoy looking back at them and wondering what the context was and why it made any sense in the first place. For example, two of my favorites. Quote, I'm crossing my fingers because I have something to say about hazelnuts. End quote. Okay, take a mouthful of water. Come on, take a mouth. I sense a zany radio contest. You should take a large mouthful of water, Sarah.
I just swallowed. Okay.
Okay, take a large mouthful of water here.
And I'll turn away from the board.
Turn away from the board, Sean Couples. Okay, ready? Second quote, tropical fish will nest within your bones. End quote. Nah, it's not as funny as the first one.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That hazelnuts one.
Because I have something to say about hazelnuts. He says it's a fun game and I recommend it to anyone. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Okay, let's go to Bank A.
Oh, let me
hear some wonderful sound.
Oh.
Don't play it.
Oh, okay. Yes, I am prepared.
All right. Well, once again, Tony Snow, during the daily White House briefing, made it perfectly clear that we are not losing confidence in the Iraqi government.
You do have ongoing successes when it comes to the developing an economic infrastructure with energy and other things. So some of those metrics that we've talked about in the past are improving. On the other hand, you've got a security situation that you really have to deal with.
What economic development? The economic system in that country.
You said metrics.
Developing
metrics.
I don't even know what that means. That's one of those things. You know what metrics is? I'll hear people say metrics sometimes in context like that, and I have no idea what they're talking about. Let's listen to
the
one
metric
more
system.
But if it,
you do have ongoing successes when it comes to developing an economic infrastructure with energy and other things. So some of those metrics that we've talked about in the past are improving. On the other hand, you've got a security situation that you really have to deal with.
A security situation, that's what they call it. The economic system consists of a guy selling unbroken matches on a table down in downtown Baghdad. When they say metrics, that's like for the longest time I didn't know what people were talking about when they said textiles. And I understand now the textiles, it's like cloth or cotton or something, I guess. But when people said textiles, I thought it was some kind of like a floor tile or a bathroom tile. I had no idea what it meant.
Yes, and Tony Snow reiterates, these metrics are providing plenty of good jobs and economic opportunities.
For those who have been fighters on the other side, at some point, you want them to lay down arms under the rubric of reconciliation. And at the same time, you got to have something for them. And that means jobs, economic opportunities.
Yes, yes.
Let's all be friends and get jobs.
it's a bustling new day over there.
Easy as that. Once again, the White House has confidence in the Iraqi government.
Now, what we do have in our assessment is that you still have an intact, functioning government. You've got a military that becomes more capable, and you've got to work on some of the other issues.
Yes, let's begin working on those now. This email is from Ernie. He says, Rick, of course it's a kiss. Just look at Sarah's closed eyes. Though that's the mark of any passionate embrace.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Hey, Tim Riley.
U.S. spy satellites have allegedly picked up signs that may point to preparation for another nuclear test in North Korea. Donald Rumsfeld isn't a bit surprised. He says it's possible North Korea will test more nuclear missiles despite the U.N. sanctions. And we've seen them do this multiple times.
They fired off some missiles, and six or eight, as I recall, shorter range, and then the Taipodong 2. There's speculation that they may want to do something additional. There's also speculation they may not. So only time will tell.
He doesn't even have an office anymore. He's just hanging around a subway station somewhere, hoping reporters walk by and want to talk to him about something.
Meanwhile, a cocaine-snorting quack admitted to killing a woman in a cosmetic surgery screw-up and burying her body under a concrete slab in Jersey.
I'm sorry. I know there are things that are wrong to laugh at, but they're combinations
of New York.
Well,
you don't get this stuff in Washington.
Combinations of words that are just funny. Anytime you put concrete slab, Jersey quack, and cocaine, plus cosmetic surgery all in one. And thank you, by the way, for saving the story until after I have my own cosmetic surgery done.
Well, Dean Fajello who's a construction worker, told prosecutors that when Maria Cruz came to his illegal Chelsea clinic to have hair removed from her tongue, she suffered a seizure.
What? Sorry. I was reading this email about hot girl-on-girl kissing, and I missed something. Would you please be reading that again?
Well, Fiello told prosecutors that Marie Cruz came to his illegal Chelsea clinic to have hair removed from her tongue. She suffered a seizure after he injected lidocaine into that tongue. Then Cruz fell unconscious. Leo called a real doctor who told him to get her to an emergency room. He's being investigated for practicing medicine without a license and ignoring that advice. Then he took the woman's dead body to a carriage house in Newark, buried her under the garage, and then ran away to Costa Rica. He's an immigrant from the Philippines. She was identified through her breast implant.
There you go. Another breast implant question answered. I don't know. First of all, it's got to be weird to live in Jersey and just to be known as the place where people dump bodies that they don't want found anywhere.
Right.
I mean, every state is known for such like one of those wacky T-shirts the kids wear about like lovers do it in Kansas or whatever. Vermont is for lovers. Jersey is just known as the place where you got to coy you if you need to disappear somebody. That's where you do it. Secondly, I think she's the first, but speaking of phrases that no one has ever used before, I think that's the first story we've ever had anywhere in any incarnation of this program involves hair being on somebody's tongue. Thirdly, who has hair on their tongue in the first place? Fourthly, how hard can it be to get rid of that? I mean, it doesn't really seem like a thing you'd need to go to the doctor to get rid of. It seems like you could just get your pluck on there, you know what I mean? You just get it's not pleasant, but I mean...
Well, you have a lot of taste buds and whatnot there.
Yeah, but I mean...
It may have been a grand opening special.
I want... ask us about our tongue de-hairing. Because now I want to see the tongue. That's one of those... like a tongue with hair on it is one of those things you don't really... It's a combination of two things that... isolated, it's like that. It's like Sarah's friend with no nipples who continues... And I mean, I don't even read the emails as they come in anymore because there's just too many, and I've recognized that we're going to have no satisfaction on this issue. There's going to be no resolution because unless we can ever get her to... the only ways...
No, she's just she's a good Christian girl. She'd never do it.
Well, but I mean, you could tell her that it's for...
Hi, Kara. I haven't spoken to you in, like, 10 years.
You still have no nipples.
Do those nipples ever grow in, or do you want to come on my radio show?
How did that ever work out for you? Well, I mean, and again, I don't know what to
do. I will write her. Do you want me to?
But I mean, well, of course. But I mean, how would you even? I mean, how would you even broach that? So how have you been? Do you have nipples? I mean, there's no easy way to bring that up.
Maybe I could do some research as like what her job is, and like maybe find out some lifestyle things about her, and then say that we want to have her on to talk about that, and then you can, you know, we can bring up the subject of people not having nipples.
Please to demonstrate exactly how you would do that. So let's say she deals with lawn care. I'll be Kara. So, and I help people get rid of ticks and aphids.
No, because that's when the listeners could help us. Somebody could call in and be like, all right, we're talking to Kara, who knows about lawns.
Yes, I'm sure that wouldn't cause any problems with your relationship at all. I'm sure that she wouldn't then bear a grudge against you for the rest of her days.
I don't care.
Yes, I have a question about aphids. Also, are your breasts completely smooth and lacking any sort of feeding device?
All right. Well, she's on, I mean, because you found her on, we haven't identified her beyond her first name. But you did find her on MySpace.
She's not a friend of mine on MySpace.
And did she say that she's married?
No, she's single.
Single. Well, I mean,
there she is.
Nipplelessness might be. I got to walk over to the computer. I've never taken a good look at her. Hold on. Well, I give her, she's like a solid,
six?
Maybe.
Five?
No. That's clearly a photo that's designed to make her look. See that? Look at that photo right there. That's like a 3.5 right there. Then we're not going to post a link to her page. We're not going to. See that photo? Did you ever look at MySpace sometimes? And you wonder, it's like when you hear your own voice on a tape recorder and you realize how you really sound as opposed to how you think you sound.
Uh-huh.
So it is with MySpace photographs. You've got to wonder sometimes if people are just not aware of what they look like. If there's just some weird internal filter. What you just can't see. I mean, that's a bad beak she's got there. I'd be less worried about the nipples than she looks like she ought to be swooping down off a mountain attacking field mice. I'm sorry. That was a terrible thing that I just said.
That was a horrible thing.
She's not listening. You didn't know who I am.
What has she done to you?
Look at Carrot. Look at your...
She taunted you with her lack of nipples.
No. Look at her face right now. Now imagine this sound coming out. sorry.
Oh, she's interested in cooking.
Okay.
Dancing, camping, hiking, fishing, reading.
Of course, she has to be interested in lots of things. She has no nipples. She's got to have broad ranges elsewhere. She's got to have a wide range of interests to compensate for that fact. I mean, it's like if you're that Mel Gibson, you're the man without a face or whatever that guy. You know, you got to learn to dance. You have to be able to talk about books in a convincing and in entertaining fashion.
Yeah, she doesn't say what she did. She did study religion, though.
All right. Well, okay.
She was a little bit of a Bible thumper.
Oh, there's some joke there, too. All right, here's Tim Riley. I'm sorry, Tim, I don't mean to stop anything. Does she still live?
She does live. But she does drink.
Well, of course. No worry.
How does she have time with all those hobbies?
Don't say where she lives now, but does she live where you knew her still? Well, I guess that would be sort of identical. Yeah, you don't need to say.
She doesn't specify. It just says the state.
We should probably not get any more specific than that. Here's Tim Riley.
A man in Brevard County, Florida, told authorities that somebody reached into his mouth.
Brooklyn.
Well, somebody reached into his mouth and removed his gold teeth as he slept. They responded to a call and a theft at a home. The deputy said officers are told that somebody entered this fellow's bedroom and took $80 teeth out of his mouth. $80 teeth?
$80?
Where does he get something that cheap?
Well, I was just going to say,
mine costs like $800 a piece.
And then they're not even made out of gold. They're just made out of teeth.
It's just porcelain.
So this isn't so much gold as it is like foil that they just... So this is a guy who's just gone and he's gotten the... This is sort of your discount Paul Wall.
Who's going to go out and look for $80 teeth?
Seriously.
Apparently, it was a heavy sleeper, didn't wake up during the incident. He had friends in his home and believes one of them had something to do with the crime. The investigation continues into the theft of $80 teeth.
Seriously, I mean, are these actual teeth or is this like the Snap-on, like the Snap-on grill?
They're Florida-style teeth, whatever those might be.
Just Florida-style teeth are really just, some sharp objects you found laying around the floor that you've jammed into your gum line long enough to get through that evening's meal before striking out on another exciting day of bottle collecting the next morning. Man, we're batting 1,000 today. We're full of compliments about the human race and various specific members of it. All right. Let's see. And that's the bad O. Oh, God. Oh, it burns my eyes. You will never... Well, you might guess. Guess what a guy just sent me. Oh, I opened it without even reading it.
I don't know.
Do you want to see it?
Yeah.
Okay, shut your eyes. Okay, don't... Just keep it... Tim, you don't want to look at this. You want to avert your eyes. I know, Tim. Tim would not recover from seeing this. All right, keep your eyes shut.
Okay.
All right, open them.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, look at this.
You should send that to Aaron. I bet he'd appreciate it.
Oh. See, you'll never forget that. Oh, God. I can't even look at the screen long enough to close it.
You have to post that.
Okay, but how do I post it without looking at it? This is like the thing where you sneak up on Medusa with the mirror. What is his name? You bastard. Who is it that said some scurrilous human being? Ted. Thank you, Ted. Sent me a picture of a hairy tongue. And it's clearly real. It's not photoshopped because it's from you. Because it's got a little watermark on it from the Mayo Clinic. Oh, my God. I can't even look. I'm trying to look at the screen and operate the blogger functionality without actually having to see the photo. I wish I had some sort of a Braille computer that I could use. Oh, God. Okay, hold on. I got to just... must close window. Okay. It's gone. Oh, man. That's the most horrifying thing. Scotty, come in here. Hey, Scotty. Come here. You got to check this out. Hey. Okay, look at my computer screen.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, see, look at it longer.
That can't be real.
That is real. Look, it says Mayo Clinic. Yeah. How does that make you feel inside? All right, thank you. There you go. We're all going to suffer together there. Good sweet Christ. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Time for the Darwin Watch.
Here's your Darwin Watch.
I have a feeling some bad stuff is about to go down.
Don't! I ate all my caps.
Don't!
My parents won't let me use scissors.
Don't!
Another one bites the dust. just stopped. Ah, there it goes.
By the year 3000, the average human will be 6.5 feet tall, have coffee-colored skin, and live for 120 years. And the good news doesn't end there.
Oh, this is an actual, oh, I should preface it. This is an actual, real Darwin watch. Normally a Darwin watch is about, you know, like some guy who decided to have a power saw juggling contest or something. This is actually from, and I did not know this, the place existed, but I should have figured this out. It's called the Darwin Institute, I believe. It was in London or someplace, yeah, where they actually figure out natural selection, survival of the fittest, blah, blah, blah. And they do projections on how the human race is going to develop based on Darwin's laws of natural selection. This is an actual, real, honest-to-goodness, literal Darwin watch.
And this is printed in the UK Sun.
That's how you know it's a good story.
Blokes will be happy to learn that their willies will get bigger and women's boobs will become more pert. But there's also a downside, says the study. They'll be more prone to disease and physically weaker because of our increased reliance on technology. The predictions are our new report by evolution theorist Dr. Oliver Curry of the Darwin Research Center at the London School of Economics. He reckons humans are set to reach their peak by the year 3000, growing taller and living longer thanks to improved nutrition, lifestyle, and medical knowledge. Race is only skin deep. There was a time when we were all the same color, and we're becoming more interconnected through the world. So we're all going to have, well, we won't be here, but people in the future, we'll have coffee tone skin.
This is totally, I totally need the Criswell music behind you for this.
Let's see, improved nutrition and understanding of the human body will see people grow taller, men reaching an average height between 6 and 7 feet, and lifespans will be far greater, living to 120 years.
That's a figure that I've always heard. Even when I was in science class, they would toss out this figure that 120 years was what they figured that the human body was capable of. So women's bosoms will be more perky. Men will have larger tackle, and we will all have, we will all fly. When we're all flying around in electric cars. What is the movie is that from? Is that from, Say Anything? Is that from the principal speaking at the beginning? I've seen the future, and all I can say is go back.
Well, that's not the principal. That's Ione Skye.
There's somebody, there's some guy who says that phrase in the movie. In the future, when we're all flying around the city in electric cars. He kind of has like a vague sort of Jesse Jackson-like cadence to his voice. Well, whatever. Anyway, can you hand me that story for a second? There's a phrase on the second page, and I was scanning this story at home, actually, when they're talking about the we're talking about how the way humans are going to evolve. Women will have smooth, hairless skin, large, clear eyes, pert breasts, glossy hair, and symmetrical features. Let's see. It is fantastic. There is danger, though, that the reliance on medicine and obsession with hygiene is likely to lead to a deterioration of the immune system. If we're all popping pills, diseases such as cancer won't be weeded out of the gene. I think about this a lot, actually. I think about the fact that we go to the doctor all the time just means that we're all going to be weak in the future because the disease won't kill off anybody who's weak. It is also predicted that humans will lose their jaw structure due to a lack of chewing needed to eat processed foods. And then they say... The world in the year 3000 will be divided into genetic haves and have-nots. The genetic have-nots will be short, stocky, asymmetrical, grubby, unhealthy, and not as bright. Says, I swear to God, a scientific institute in London. Dr. Curry adds, it's like Angelina Jolie having a baby with Brad Pitt. A genetic elite will be created by what is known as assortative mating. Which just means not stooping ugly people. We certainly can't predict what's going to happen, but we can make educated predictions. The Bravo Evolution Report suggests the future of man will be the story of the good, the bad, and the ugly. So there you go. The phrase of the day, short, stocky, asymmetrical, grubby, unhealthy, and not very bright. There's your Darwin watch for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Radio.
Don't!
Another one bites the dust.
Fantastic. Oh, you know, I never even thought about this. I hadn't even thought about the effect that this hairy tongue picture would have on Aaron. Because, you know, Aaron Geek in the City has got a whole thing about hair in his mouth. Mm. Wait, hold on. I got it. I'm sorry. I had a long hair stuck between my teeth there, Aaron. So, Okay, so we have to figure out a way. We have to figure out a way to get him to see this. Just get him to see this. Here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do. Sometime during the next break, I'll go to Blogger and presume I can get it to work. We'll get like three photographs. It'll be like the shell game on the streets of Manhattan. What are the other two photographs I could put up? And I'll label them all very nondescriptly so he can't tell which is which, and I'll just make them links. And one will be the hairy tongue, and two could be like, what could the other two be? Like what? Like two of them could be of like girls making out or something. You know, like one could be Scarlett Johansson, and like one could be of, I don't know, like chicks kissing.
What's Aaron like?
And then I don't
like some Star Wars porn or something.
Yeah, and then the third one will be just a hairy tongue, and I'll put him up there, and it'll drive him crazy. And I'll label them all exactly the same so that he won't know what they are until he clicks on them. That's fantastic. Rick, I was at a local gentleman's club recently, and I happened to be wearing a hat. Before I knew it, the dancer grabbed it off my head, put it on, and proceeded to dance around for what seemed like an hour. I just wanted to warn you, by the way, in case Aaron's bachelor party takes a crazy turn. And oh yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. It ends up at one of our fine local establishments. That would be bad for you and your scalp, says Ryan. Yes, it would be. No, I'm going to have to do some sort of a layering on my head.
Maybe you can staple some kind of elastic band to go underneath your chin.
That's a great idea, Sarah. Maybe I'll get a pointy clown-like party hat as well, and maybe I'll wear a bib and drool on myself.
None
huh?
of the strippers
huh?
would probably take it then. If you go in there with a KUFO hat, you're in trouble.
Seriously, because they're just going to assume that they're going to assume that I'm there and ready to spend. Let's do one more here with Tim Riley.
Well, Norway has become embroiled in a dispute over toilets and the nature of masculinity. The matter blew up because a primary school headmistress tried to ban boys from urinating while standing up. Anne-Lise Gill, the head of a mixed primary school in the southern Norwegian city of Kristianstad, wanted to introduce the ban after complaints from cleaners that many boys could not aim properly. The measure has upset right-wing Norwegian politicians, however, who say it blurs a God-given distinction between the sexes. If boys are not allowed to pee in the natural way, as they've done for generations, then it amounts to an assault on God's creations.
Well, that's true, though.
That, according to Vidar Klepp, the head of Norway's Justice and Order Party, the controversy erupted when the teacher wrote a letter to parents asking them to think about her suggestion. Help! We need to wipe up a lot around the laboratory bowls, and it's beginning to get on our nerves. Discuss at home whether boys should instead sit down when they go pee.
Yes.
Many thanks.
Yes, Scotty. Pleased to be addressing that. Scotty, do you address this with your sons? Do you talk about whether they use the bathroom standing up or sitting down?
I don't think you'd love them anymore if they peed sitting down.
Scotty, what would you do? Let me ask you this, Scotty. What would you do if you found out that one of your sons was using the bathroom? Is it a son and a daughter, or is it two sons? It was a boy, right? Because you have a boy and a girl. One son, one daughter. What would you do if you found out that your son was using the bathroom, sitting down? Would you talk to him about that? Would you tell him that's not what a man does? Is that a thing you'd care about? Okay. Really? You go sitting down? That surprises me.
Scotty does?
Scotty? I thought you were all man, Scotty. I thought you were all... Oh, I'd only sometimes. Really? When is that? Is there some sort of an issue?
Maybe when he stays out drinking till
when I need to rest my weary bones. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, there you go. Okay, that's fantastic. Let's see. Aaron says, I have just vomited in my mouth. Rick, thank you. I can't even look at your side at work, and I'm disgusted. Oh, he can't even see our side. Can you see? I wonder if he can see Sarah's side. If he's not able to look at our side, I won't be able to do this to him. So much for this fresh pack of gum I just bought. Now all covered in regurgitated feta cheese and artichoke hearts. Thought you'd like to know. Aaron Geek in the City. There you go. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to, and thank you, Ted, for sending us a photo. I'm going to be posting now so this is like a good news, bad news. To get to this photo of Sarah kissing, I still call it a kiss.
Even though it's not.
Look, I'm just saying, are you Googling hairy tongue?
Ew.
Yeah. It burns.
That was a mistake.
Oh, the goggles do nothing.
Ew.
Hit the back button. For the love of God. Okay. This is like that scene in the Aliens where Ripley's got the airlock open and we're all about to be sucked into space and you gotta hit the close latch. I'm just saying it's sort of like a good news, bad news. Like, if you want to see this picture of Sarah, I'll just put it clinically. If you want to see the picture of Sarah with at least part of her tongue in another woman's mouth, you're going to have to brave. You're going to have to get past. I'm going to put them right next to each other. That's totally what I'll do. I'm going to put it right next to. Oh, it's back. Why are you doing that?
I'm sorry.
Ugh. I'm going to put it right next to this picture of the hair-covered tongue. Here's the thing about. Oh, this is a final comment, and then we'll break. Here's the thing about the hair-covered tongue. That looks like an adult tongue to me. You know, it looks like a full size, like a. The tongue looks to be a regulation size. You know that whoever has that tongue tried shaving it at one point. You know that there's been several attempts at shaving
there
the hair.
There would be
lots
of blood
tongue.
With all your taste buds.
Seriously, imagine that. That's the worst. Imagine how. Imagine that kind of pain.
No, wait. Because your tongue is kind of. You know, it's very gentle skin, and ripping that out with tweezers, I couldn't do that. You'd probably rip out pieces of your tongue if you're trying to pluck it.
Let me ask you this, sir. If you had one really long hair,
No, I'm just checking to make sure.
You're just checking your tongue texture? Yeah. Well, how would you know, though? Do you stare at your own tongue in the mirror a lot?
No, but I've seen my own tongue. I don't have hair.
Yeah, but I mean, but
do you have a hairy tongue?
I don't think so. But again, I can't really say. I mean, I don't know. I don't spend a lot of time staring at my tongue. Do you ever buy one of those tongue scrapers that
yes.
they sell? Yeah. Because, you know, most of your most foul mouth odor that typically comes from people that use your teeth, it's really your tongue. If you had a long hair in the middle of your tongue, I'm saying.
So wrong.
No,
okay,
continue. Okay, let me ask you this. Okay,
no, right, get it out.
Bigger question. What if you had a hair on the underside of your tongue? You couldn't really feel it, but it was sort of there if you looked at it. But it hurt a lot to pluck, and then it would grow back like once a month. Would you pluck it out, or would you just leave it there?
I'd probably pluck it.
All right.
Because you don't want food, like, getting stuck on it.
No, but it's a single hair, so.
But there, you know, if it's a single hair.
It's not a beard. you know.
Well, I've never dealt with the problem of having a hairy tongue, so
right.
Maybe, you know, maybe that one hair would.
This show has become some whole weird panoply of just really strange and never-before-heard bodily afflictions. Like, you know what this whole show has become? It's people having things that they ought to have where they ought not to have them, and things that they ought to have that they don't have. Your friend has breasts but no nipples. That guy has hair but on his tongue. It's like one big Barnum and Bailey. All right, we got a break here. We're gonna break, and we're gonna clear the decks, as they say. We'll come back. Gary Baumgarten come back. We're gonna talk about lesbians later. And I know that makes me sad. It sounds like a bad Stern thing, but I got it. And it's not in the Sarah kissing this girl on the website way. Like it's an actual. It's other people. I'm just gonna say this. It has the following words: Lindsay Lohan, Keira Knightley, lesbian lovers. We're going to read that just because we need to clean everything that's happened in the last hour out of our collective heads. As for my head, you can eat right out of it. All right. Al Gore tickets this coming hour, too, plus more Tim Riley. You stay there. Back after this on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere!